bow our heads. Lord, it's an honor to come before you, throne of grace, and pray you'll take preeminence everything we say and do, and bless the service, bless the singing, and the ministry in your word. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to 703. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus. Turn to 604. "I'll see you in the rapture." "I'll see you in the rapture. See
blessed Savior
will
and reign Pure delight of a single Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, once more we just want to say thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you give us here this evening, Lord, to gather around thy precious word with our brothers and sisters. Lord, it is a wonderful opportunity. We thank you for it. Thank you for the health and strength you give us to be here, Lord.
Yes.
We just ask that you'll have your preeminence the remainder of this service. Lord, may all that's said and done be for thy glory and thy honor. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing I Love You.
Father, we pray today, tonight, Father, that you bless each one. I ask, Father, if you
have a song.
Let me sing that little portion here, my God, that he, I think it's in the caption book.
All things are possible. Precious Lord, we truly say it's a wonderful opportunity to be here this evening. And Lord, how thankful we truly are for one more chance to come and to gather in, Lord, around your precious word and to have you speak to our hearts. And Lord, though it may just be a very simple exhortation that we partake of this evening, but Lord, it's your word and it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, if we could only get into a channel with you with all the things that we have heard in the last few services, Lord, that we could just get in tune with you, Lord, and let you speak to our directly to our hearts. And Lord, cast aside anything that would stand between us and you, Lord, and let you truly speak to us. And Lord, embrace it and say amen to it. Lord, how great is our God. Lord, how great you are. Lord, and how you can take us in your hands and you break us and you mold us, Lord. And Lord, you know exactly what we have need of every time. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor that's due you. And we just humbly commit ourselves unto thee for service and asking that you would have your way in the remainder of this service, we ask. In your lovely, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious. Amen. He's just so wonderful. Amen. You could just worship him all evening. Just stay in that spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. If while you're still standing, if you would, we'll just turn our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Just going to renew our minds to some very familiar things this evening. Nothing deep. I think our brother covered a lot of ground this morning. And a lot to feed upon and to think about. And even in the past few services that we've been having, the God calling a people aside and how the word's coming and trying to point out that it was God speaking through William Branham. And then all the different messages we've heard. But let's just turn here in Proverbs, the third chapter, and begin there, that first verse. My son, forget not my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. May the Lord bless his word, and you may be seated. How I think that scripture sums up a lot of what we've heard over the last few services. And how true it is as human beings as we walk through life. And from the time we're children, we're raised up to learn. And then how the human race has studied to help people to learn how to learn. And how to make sure they're able to put this together and to put that together and to create great speakers in the natural. There's great men that can get up and begin to speak and draw a picture for you, and motivational speakers that great organizations bring in to speak and to give people direction in their life and to help them and try to encourage them over here or over that direction. But oh my, there's none as great as ever spoke as our precious Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the words that he spoke so often, so many times, we see people want to lean upon their own understanding and how we've seen it over the years and how the scriptures, as plain as it can be, is lean not to our own understanding.
Amen.
And as the word's been coming forth, I think we all can see God is trying to show us to follow him. Lean upon me in what I've said. I give you the word. I'm here. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. But we've got to get rid of our own ideas and our own way of thinking about things. And you know, oftentimes it's hard to crucify thoughts and ideas that we've incorporated along the way that's came to us from this direction and from that direction. And we oftentimes don't realize that we think we got a revelation of something and maybe we really didn't. And you know, there's many people throughout the land, as our brothers mentioned it, we'll just use it for a quick example. They say they've got a revelation, but it's okay to go to ball games. And they believe the same message we did, but they miss something. And you can see that if by God's grace you can sit here and see that in the word that that's wrong. One item that's wrong. And somebody else is saying, nope, my revelation says it's all right to do that. But yet God has revealed to you, and you can truly, plainly see it in his word that it's wrong. That person is leaning to their own understanding on that circumstance. But how many circumstances are in the word we can bring back? And just a few our brother mentioned this morning, a husband being under subjection to her wife, a wife being under subjection to her husband, children obeying their parents, parents ruling over their children and watching over their home. These are just a few items. And if I've found another way of doing it than what the word said, I've leaned to my own understanding. Amen. And I'm letting that rule my life, and I'm not coming under a full subjection to the word of God. But we're living in an age where we see that it's got to be a full surrender. We've got to come completely yielded unto God and get rid of anything that would stand between us and him. And I just want to read a few things Brother Branham said concerning this. And just as he started to bring his message. And very simple, nothing elaborate, but just listen to him as he begins. And he says, this is in the message, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." This was preached January 20th, 1965. And he says, he had just read the scripture we read, and he said, I think that's the most beautiful scripture. I want to take a text out of that. And he says, now it's a very strange text for the day we're living in, because the emphasis today is certainly laid upon education and upon our own understanding of things in the day of learning. And if it was then, look how much more today this has been. Look how many more years we've had of education and learning, studying, reading. Many different people have come along with their version of the very thing we claim to believe. And you could go in and study all these things, the educational material that's been provided from message followers, so to speak. But we're always to look back to one thing. God's got it right the first time he spoke it. Amen. And that is our guiding path.
Hallelujah.
He says it's a very, laid upon education, upon understanding of things, the day of learning. But we find out here that this is a strange statement. Like other scriptures, it's had its place. And we will trust that God will let us see where the place is. Today we send our children to school to have understanding. And then after that, through grammar schools, we send them to high school for a better understanding of knowledge. And then after that, through there, some children are even fortunate enough to go to college. And go through college and complete their education and their understanding. And what they've acquired. And how today we can see, even if you didn't get a chance to go to college, many jobs that you hire on to now, they have their way. Banks want to take you in and have you do your role-playing and teach you to think like they think and to handle situations the way they want it handled. Other big businesses, it's all about conforming you to them and what they want and their organization and how they want their organization to run. There's so many voices throughout the land today pulling every direction in the natural and in the spiritual. But God placed a people here that he would place a very portion of himself within, that he would have the full preeminence in their life, the full leadership of their life, that they wouldn't lean upon something they learned in a seminary or something they learned over here from a good man that they thought was a good understanding, had a good understanding of what he was speaking about, but they would lean back upon what God was revealing to them in their heart.
Amen.
And how we can see it down through times, you've seen many people be able to say, well, I used to go to church here, and I remember this brother, he was really, the Lord would move on him, and he would do this, and he would do that, and oh my, he would say these things, and still, you want to maybe hold to that, because it looked like the Lord was moving, but yet how the word has come and showed us, Caius prophesied, and it came to pass, but yet his life was in shambles, and how we see the word focusing in on this, that we must press aside everything besides what God has already spoken. We must, and it's got to become to that. And it goes all the way down into our very lives of the little things we use on a day-to-day basis. Maybe this little thing, I look at it and I say, there's nothing wrong with that. As a human being, I look at it and I think about the morals of it and I say, oh, that's fine, that's okay. But do I go back to the Word of God and then begin to get into that sphere with God? And let God be it again to lift us up. How often things sometimes don't look too bad. And then all of a sudden let God's light shine upon it. And oh my, how illuminated it is. And I think of the story Brother Branham used of the gentleman that had the dream that he went to heaven. And how that great light shone. And oh my, when you think of these things, Every day that we walk, are we truly aware of what God is doing in our life, what He wants from us? And am I weighing everything I do through the precious word? Conversation I decide to have, where I decide to go, what I decide to pick up over here, is it truly forefront in my life, or do I don't really think about it till I get back to church and then the pastor begins to preach on things and I start to remember maybe I should have. Why didn't I think of that then? But oh my, how the Holy Ghost within us should be coming to a maturity. Our lives, our bodies should be coming to that age of maturity to where they can write a book of Acts behind that little bride of Jesus Christ. And as we think of these things and know what's been spoken, do we see that taking place in our life? Or am I seeing that close of a walk? Am I that close of a surrender? Or don't I really even consider it till it's time to go to church again? And that's when it really, it's renewed to my mind and it's fresh for a few days. And I don't think about it at any other time. He says here on paragraph 33, he says, yet wise Solomon told us not to lean to our own understanding. Learn not of these things, because we wonder why he would say such a thing as this. But it's because usually our modern understanding is usually the wisdom of man, which is contrary to the word of God. And I think that's what Solomon was trying to advise his sons, was not to be illiterate and not to lean to their own understanding. But I think it would be a good exhortation today if we said to our sons and the sons of God's that it's all right to have an education. There's nothing against that. But when that education is contrary to the word of God, then lean to the word and let your education go, see? Because the word and education will stand and will give you a good job, probably a good standing amongst intellectual people. But that's all right, which will probably be a great help to you and help you in your financial, but your livelihood, make a living a little better for you. But remember one thing, my son, you've got to die. And no matter how much education you got, how much culture you're able to accumulate, you've got to face death, because it is written the man must die after that judgment. And death is not so bad, but coming to judgment is the bad part. Now you can die, but after judgment, and God is not going to inquire of you how much schooling you got when you were here on earth, how much knowledge you accumulated, and whether you got your bachelor's of art or whatever degree you might have been, even as a minister, it's not going to be required of you. But it's going to be required of you what you did about the understanding of God's word. And how, when you stop to think about that, one day when we would stand before the great Lord and He's there passing judgments, I wonder our defense of something that maybe I feel is okay and I'm holding on to because I don't see nothing wrong with this certain thing. But maybe God's word has been pricking in our hearts and trying to show us it's wrong. But what will our defense be to Him when His word has come plainly and tried to show us things, and maybe we in ourselves want to override that and say, I still feel it's okay. God's got a purpose in every word that He speaks, and nothing is spoken void or out of season. But God knows all things. And oftentimes, it's like having a child, being a parent. We have children, and maybe they want to do a certain thing. And as a parent, we can look and see the end of that thing. And we know what's going to be. And at the hard time, maybe we crack down on that thing and we cut it out of their life, and we were there to be that guiding shepherd for them. And we pull it away from them. And maybe at the time they don't understand, and they think dad's wrong, mom's wrong for what they're doing. But yet we know the end and we can see it by God's grace. We're mature, we're adults, we've been out given eyes to see those things. Amen. And it's the same way when God begins to bring His word, He's placed men in the church, pastors, to be able to be lifted up into the Holy Spirit of God and to give them words to speak. And oftentimes they speak things they don't even know why they spoke it. But God knows all about the situation and He's watching over His sheep. Amen. And oh my, how sometimes as sheep we can become like little goats instead of little lambs that are just following along. And how it's, you say, Brother Tim, are you? No, I'm just saying, let's watch our spirit. What's the spirit within me saying when this word comes? Do I immediately start to build up a bar against it? And I start to, oh no, here we go again. Or do I just, Lord, let it be to me. Let me yield, Lord. If I'm wrong, Lord, show me where I'm wrong and give me the grace to overcome the thing that's in my life. But it's so often, it's so easy, as we've said, to build that thing up. My education, my learning, my understanding of what the Scripture says. I know what Brother Branham said. I read that. But God gives a revelation to a few. And may we begin to learn to not lean upon our own understanding, but lean upon the moving of the Holy Spirit. Not upon the pastor even. Don't lean upon the pastor, but lean upon the Word and follow the Word. Amen. Follow the leading of that Holy Spirit and the guiding of the Holy Spirit as He's here pecking at your heart. Amen. It's not the pastor pecking at your heart when that Word's coming and you can feel something down on the inside of there trying to break you down. That's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to your heart. Amen. Oh my, but God's got channels. Amen. But we got to let Him have His way. Amen. Yield to Him. Amen. Amen. See here. Let's drop down here. He says, but it's going to be required of you. What you did about the understanding of God's Word, that's where the requirement comes. Because your education is fine, but the Word of God is life. My Word is life, and to know it is life. And He said, know Him. He is the Word. So you can only know Him by the Word, for He is the Word. And that's the only way you'll know Him, is by His Word. Somebody could come up and say, this is God, or that's God, this is God, and this is right, and that's right. But we come back to the Word, which is truth. And the Word is just like the North Star. It's a true star. No matter which way the world is floating, the North Star centered with the earth. You set your compass to the North Star and it's always in the center of the earth. Other stars float around with the world, but the North Star stays stable. And the compass is the Holy Spirit. And your tie post would be the North Star. So the Holy Spirit will always point towards the Word. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you to anything else but the Word. So how could a man accept a creed when it's contrary to the Word, and then say the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost would point you away from that. It takes the Holy Spirit to point you to the Word, for He is the Word. He is the Word, and it can only, as that magnetic in a compass is only set towards the North Pole, that's the only way it can draw. And when the Holy Spirit is the author and the writer and the quickener of the Word, how can it point the person to anything else but the Word? Amen. And how we've seen it, saints, over time, and what is... what an assurance it should bring into our hearts. We went to a place. We were part of a place to where today you could wear black shoes and tomorrow you couldn't wear black shoes. And the next day you could wear black shoes and the next day you couldn't wear black shoes. Just to use it as an example. But God's Word is set, cut, dried. There's only one way by God, one decision. Amen. And when you can see the Word come with one decision in mind. Today it's this way and tomorrow it's not. That's not God. But when God comes right down the line and lays it in there and you can see it word upon word, line upon line, and it's lining up 100%, how we better yield and say, Lord, let it be to me according to Thy Word. Amen. But oh my, sometimes, Satan, we come through many avenues in life, many steps through life, and this one saying this is right, and that's saying that's right, but oh my, we've got to come back and let God show us what is truly Amen. Right, and He's doing that. But then we must be yielded to Him. We must be open to allow Him in and not be harsh against the Holy Spirit or hard that we can't speak to my heart, but open it up. Amen. It's so easy to point fingers as the Word comes forth and the Word's showing me where I'm wrong and I realize I'm wrong. And I realize that maybe this was wrong in my life. It's so easy to point a finger and say, this person done that. This person's caused that. This happened over there and that happened over there. But maybe it was God using whatever avenue it took to make sure that He lined you back up. Amen. God's used many avenues to have to change my path and line me up and straighten me up and keep me where He wanted me to be. But I thank God by His mercy and grace that I can stand here today. And though many a time I've had many a heartache, maybe many a time it was like the Word was just bearing down on me. But by God's grace, I can see the results that He's brought in my life. I can see the changes that He's brought. Can see the overcoming that by His grace He's placed in my life. And it's only Him that can do that. And each one of you here, I know you can sit here and say the same thing. You can see where God is leading you and guiding you. But oh my, as we begin along that path, maybe when we first begin to journey, it seems like it's a road of ease. But then as that road begins to get narrow and the heat begins to be put on for perfection, as the honing's taking place and the beating of the iron or steel or the melting of the gold, whatever you're working with, it begins, the pressure becomes harder and hotter. Amen. But oh my, may we endure it and be yielded Amen. To it, that God can complete this in our life. Because saints, we're headed to the end. And it ain't going to be many more days before He's going to appear. And we've got to be ready for Him. Amen. And I was just reading this. I want you to think about this. This is in the Message. Oh, Lord, just once more. Might sound a little off key, but just listen. This was preached June 28, 1963. The children of Israel, this is page 12. The children of Israel in type was to follow the pillar of fire. And every night they must be ready, not to organize, sit down here, but to move with the fire. And that's what God wants his people to do. Move with the Spirit, move with the time. You say, well, Brother Brandon, we've had all kinds of rains, inner rains, outer rains. You're intelligent. I don't care what kind of a revelation it is and how good it looks. If it's not according to God's word, leave it alone. This is the blueprint through the wilderness, the word of the Lord. But here stands the church today, the Pentecostal church, in about 20 or 30 different organizations, each one calling the other one this, that, and the other, buzzers, roots, and so forth. What a disgrace when the very thing that God pulled you out of, them denominations for you, you turned around and done the very same thing that they did. That's exactly what Samson done. God raised up Samson to destroy a nation, and God raised you up for a people, not an organization. And when God started Israel from Egypt, they were only about 10 days' journey from the promised land, about 40 miles. But they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. Think of that. God led them around, and God was leading a pillar of fire and a cloud. God led them 40 years around and around in a wilderness. Think about it. God leads us a long way. God knows what we need. He knows we might be turning in circles right now for the purpose that God can get that last one's attention to get them in line before we move over through into the promised land. But they stayed in the wilderness. Why? Grace had furnished them a lamb for their sins. Circumcision for us of a sign and a pillar of fire as a witness. Moses is a prophet, and grace had provided everything they had need of. But they wanted something to do themselves. Little did they know when Miriam was dancing with the tambourine and the children of Israel danced with her, Moses singing in the spirit, they were only 10 days from that full promised then. Little did they know 40 years and their carcasses would rot in the wilderness. What did it? Israel made its most rational decision it's ever made when it accepted law instead of grace. When they wanted to make some bishops and some things of their own, something they had to do into it. And God was in the midst of them leading them. And I want you to think about it. How close are we to the promised land? And God is trying to show us and to get us to a place where we can be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that he can move and use us as he wants to. But will I stand there and pick up something of the world and hold on to it with all that's in me because I don't think it's wrong? I'm going to keep this thing. I'm going to keep this thing in my life because I don't see that it needs to go. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit is just pounding, pecking. Get rid of this. Clean it out. Get this. Make sure you've got the new birth. Make sure you know it's there. Make sure you're living exactly right. God's trying. He's showing us. How close are we? Then could we be? We had our last chance and we denied it in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord come, and we missed our opportunity. Oh my, think about it, saints. Israel, how much they wondered, and as he read this morning, they had manna and all God done for them. And yet they still turned their back on him. And oh my, when you can see all God's done for you and done for me and brought us this far, and how close we are, oh my, there ought to be something driving. I don't care what's got to go now. By God's grace, I'm going to reach that goal. Amen. It ought to be a burning down in our hearts. Amen. Oh my, the little songs we sing, draw me nearer and nearer, my God. And those ought to be boiling down inside of us. Every word, heeding the word. Hallelujah. Saying, Lord, have full sway. But oh my, do we really want him to? Sometimes I think we still want to have our own decisions in life. We still want to hold our own path. And this is what I'm doing. This is my goal. This is where I'm headed. This is what I want for myself. When God's trying to say, it doesn't matter. This is all temporal and it's going to pass away. But come, follow me. Amen. It may be a cross I have to bear. But oh my, I come to do thy will, oh God. Amen. Let's see here. This is in the message. Amen. Let me see. This is in the message, How Can I Overcome? And he was speaking. He says, page 15, and this was preached in August 25th, 63. And it's a very familiar script quote. We've all heard it many times. He says, it's just like putting a baby's arm in a sleeve hole, you see. He's just up, down, over, and everything else. He can't do it. Put your coat on, honey, and he can't do it. Little arm is up, down, around. It takes your steady hand. And oh, how glad I am I can just yield my hand to the Father and say, Lord Jesus, I can't get it in there. You help me put the coat on and I quit trying. Just let him do it. If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. But he's just everywhere and he can't do it. And neither can you, neither can I. But if we'll just hold still and let him do it. Just yield to him. Here, Lord, here am I. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. The victory, that's overcoming. And the thing you have to overcome is yourself, your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to him. He's overcome for you, and he knows the way we don't. And how much more today we should have that attitude, Lord, let me yield to you. He knows the way. He knows what we have need of. And if we would just lay open before him in prayer and say, Lord, show me. But oftentimes we don't think we have a need, so therefore we don't lay before him in prayer. We're not open to him. We don't ever get in the presence of that light other unless we come to service. But what about getting in that presence of the light, whether you're on the job, whether you're walking down the street, knowing that presence is right there with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is walking shoulder to shoulder with you. He sees the situation in the home when mom is yelling and screaming at the kids, but no correction, just rather yell and scream. He sees all these things that takes place. Every situation, that's just one situation I just mentioned. But all this takes place throughout all day. God's watching and he's seeing it. And he's seeing our lives and he sees the needs that we have. And all of this precious word's just laying here. It's laying on our shelves. It's laying on the and tapes, on our car, wherever it's at. And then what's our excuse? We have none. And we won't have one, but somebody is starting to feel that need and starting to see that we're coming to the end of the road. This is the last roundup, so to speak. And we're going to leave this earth. And by God's grace, there's going to be a people stand that God will be able to say, look at my little bride. I've got the full preeminence of her. She don't move unless I tell her to. There's no filth and corruption in her life. There's none of this excess world laying around hanging on her. But oh my, do we want to be a people that's part of that. Oh my, I do. By God's grace, I want him to have that full preeminence in my life. Amen. As we see, you see, saints, you know, with my job, I see all kinds of people. Ambitious people. People that have great ambitions in this natural life. And you see them do all they can to promote themselves, they think they're somebody and it just stands out. You see the haughtiness and the proudness on in themselves. And the drives and the things they will go through and the ways they'll put themselves out to achieve what they're trying to do. But when you bring that over, if in the spiritual we would let the Holy Spirit get a hold of us and place a drive that they have in the natural, and how much greater is the drive of the Holy Spirit? If we would truly get it on the inside of us, how much more you would see everything we do be more focused to what God has placed us here for. Amen. That's just the natural side of it. That's what happens in the natural flesh when somebody has an ambition. As our brother has brought it out many times about the new birth, it's the passions, the drives, the ambitions. And you think about that and you see that all taking place over there, you know what's on the inside of them. You see where their drives are. You see where their ambitions are for. In this worldly life, they've got great plans and how it should be on the spiritual side. The drives, the ambitions that's in our life, the things we're partaking of, the things we're trying to achieve, it should all be able to be seen. That person's got leaving on their mind. They're not staying here. They're not making plans to be here for the next 30 years. But by God's grace, there's something there that's pulling them heavenly. They don't look at this world. They don't care about the cosmos of this world and all that's taking place. But there's something inside of them. Their focus is on leaving. Hallelujah. And oh my, how much more it ought to be to this day. Oh, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to hold you very long. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I think I pulled my marker out. Let me see if I can find my page real quick. Amen. But God is moving, saints. And it may look like. You can go to some churches and you're going to see the worship services. It seems like, oh my, them people's on fire for God. You see the jumping and the shouting and the screaming, maybe even speaking in tongues and dancing in the spirit and whatever else you might see go on. But it's the life that God's looking for in this day. And you know, I think you just look back through the scripture. As we mentioned not too many services ago, Elijah standing on Mount Carmel by himself. 450 prophets of Baal looking at him. And there he stood all by himself, but he had the power of the God within him. And it was burning within him, and he pulled fire down out of heaven, pulled the water right down afterwards. Look what God did through his life. And then look, bring it all the way up through, from there all the way through the scriptures, and look at the many times it was one person with a desire burning in their heart against many. And that's where we're standing today. We might be few here. And maybe there's not hands being laid on, people being raised, but if there's one person within this building that the life of Jesus Christ is being conformed into them too, well, that their every word is being backed up 100%, that's worth more than all of the revivals you can have throughout this land. But God's not, those days were there for a reason, but they're gone. But God's looking for a life. But that people that's got a genuine life done on the inside of them, they'll dance in the Spirit. Oh, they can speak in tongues if that's what the Lord wants them to do. They can lay hands on the dead and they can be raised to life if that's what God instructs them to do. But they don't move unless God tells them they can. And oh my, what the leadership of the Holy Spirit can do in a people's hearts and lives. Amen. Hallelujah. This is just something I was thinking as I was thinking about these things. He says, this is in Go Wake Jesus. Paragraph, preached November the 3rd, 63, paragraph 48. And he was speaking of Jesus being tired and he was getting into the ship because he was, we'll just back up, just catch it. He says, did you ever see a man that's been stricken by an evil spirit like that? He is several times his strength, and how I have noticed them in meetings when groups of police couldn't even hold them, and they would tear them police to pieces, throw them aside, get a hold and carry on his way, because he is so fully surrendered to the evil one, it took possession of him. And he had not his own understanding. He only did what the evil spirit in him to do. And those of you that are police officers, I'm sure you've saw that. What drugs can do to a person and how much control it can take over a person till they don't even know what they are doing, where they've been, or whatever they've done. But he says, but then I thought, with a complete surrender to the devil can give a man maybe five times his strength. What would a complete surrender to God do to a man? What would it do to a cripple that's weak in body and can't walk or something? If we could just get completely yield to the Holy Ghost, it'd give us super strength to rise in the name. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the strength in God that's in you is greater than any affliction can come upon you. There is nothing can overtake you that can supersede you, because you have the full superpower. And that superpower is the Holy Spirit that dominates your life if you're a Christian. And I want you to think, as our brother was bringing it out this morning, and he was saying, maybe we need the new birth. Maybe we need to be born again. And we know what the new birth will do in a person's life. And I wonder if each one of us would ask ourselves, Lord, do I see the power of that risen Jesus Christ living in my life? Do I see that power over not only sin, but over sickness in my body? Lord, do I see that if one of my children are sick? Lord, I see I can come to you in prayer and what you answer that prayer. Maybe I see a need over here, Lord, and I can go to you in prayer and know without a doubt that you've met that need. There's no worry. There's no fret. Maybe it doesn't happen right away, but there's a deep, settled peace in my heart that I know I got my answer from you, Lord. Do we see these actions that all of these different ones had in the book of Acts? Do we see the manifestation of the Spirit within my life? Not just upon this outward body, but coming from the inside out. Do I see that love and all the joy, the peace, and not only that, but then the hatred for the things of the world. As our brother spoke this morning, it all blends together and makes one big unit. Amen. But do we see it taking place in our life, or can I truly say that I've been serving the Lord the same way for the last 20 years and really haven't seen a lot of change in the way I serve Him? Really don't see much more closer walk today than I had then, and I still live every day the same. I wonder, saints, it's time to check up. Because we don't have too much more time left. But God's given a people one opportunity to go back. Look how many things have been brought back to our remembrance. Look how many things have been renewed to us and given an opportunity to make sure it's 100% right in our lives. God's watching over us, saints. And my, may we truly be a people that's willing to just yield to Him. Lord, here's my hand. Lord, I don't know how to get there. Satan will come all the time and try to say, well, this is that and this is that. You're doing this. You're going to do that. But no, just push it all aside and say, Lord, you take me in my hands. Amen. This is where the greatest battles of us ever fought. But oh my, if we can just shut Him off and give God an opportunity. Just say amen, Lord. Amen to your word, Lord. Maybe I don't fully understand it, but amen, Lord. And lay before Him and watch God reveal it to you and open your understanding. Oh my, it's got to be real. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would.
Amen. It's just a very short exhortation. But I pray that we'll think about these things. Even this week, as we go meditate upon the things our brother even brought this morning. As he even asked us, what did we eat last week? Maybe we'd be able to come next Sunday and say, I remember what we ate last Sunday. Amen. And that be real, still fresh in our hearts, and then let God have an opportunity to work and to feed us. But God is real. I love him and appreciate him for what he's doing in my heart. Amen. Every day I find something else. Lord, I need to climb a little higher. I need to grow closer to you, Lord. That thing needs to go. But I thank God there's something always there, pecking, watching. Lord, help me and guide me along the way. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Our God is real. Amen.
Yes, he is.
Thank the Lord. Anybody got a chorus on your heart? Something you'd like to sing? Amen. I just like to sing that little chorus. I keep falling in love with him as our brother comes. Amen.
I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over.
First love of our life, how much better off we would be. Think about it in the natural. Okay, say that maybe us brothers, maybe we have a need of a car, and we've got a certain car in mind. It's not hard to remember when we go to the car lot and try to remember what I was looking for. No, I wanted power windows, air conditioning, I wanted a certain motor and a certain collar, and you don't have to get on the car lot and try to remember what you was going to buy. No. You've already got it in tune in your mind and you're looking for this certain car.
That's right.
Nobody has to remind you. Same way with maybe our sisters. Maybe she wants the kitchen remodeled and she has in her mind what she wants in the kitchen. She knows the color of flooring she wants, the certain kind of cabinets she likes, certain curtains she wants to hang up. She don't go to the store trying to remember, oh, I wanted blue curtains. No. Any time of the day and all day long, she could remember blue curtains. Brown floor.
That's right.
tan oak cabinets. I'd have to remember. Because that was an important thing going on in their life. What if God's word would become the most important thing in our life? Would we have to try to remember, oh, what did God want? What would be pleasing him? What did the preacher talk about? No. It'd be pulsating. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It'd be the most important thing. Brother Branham said in which message? Christ, Mystery God Revealed. Jesus Christ should be the principal theme of our lives. What is the principal theme? The most important one of our lives. The principal theme of our talk. The principal theme of our walk. The principal theme of our life. Oh my. Then would it be a problem trying to remember what God wants, what he said, and what he's wanting out of my life? No. It would come so automatically. We can take natural things in life, physical, material things in life, and just bang, it's there. Bang, that's how I want this. Bang, I want to go over here. Bang, I like this. Bang, I like listening to this. Bang, I want to see that. So easy. And I'll assure you, if you've got something you want to do this coming weekend, there is no problem you remembering what you're going to do this weekend. Because this is the principal theme in your life.
Amen.
But if this word in turn becomes the most important theme in your life, oh my, no problem. Amen. I hope and pray, and my prayer is that he'll be first in our life.
Amen.
And he will see us falling in love with him.
Amen.
Over and over and over again. Again, I trust that you have listened to the message tonight and placed it in your heart and opened your heart to it, that the Holy Ghost can move in your heart with it. Amen. I would have rather heard that message tonight than anything Billy Graham would ever say.
Amen.
Earl Roberts would have brought. Or any of these other Billy or Benny, whatever his name is. Can't remember his last name now. Benny something. I'd rather heard that message tonight. Yeah. I'd rather heard that message tonight than most of the ones Donnie Reagan brings. Yeah. I know I shouldn't mention names, but I'm going to tell you, somebody has to stand on truth.
Amen.
These big names ain't going to mean nothing to God. Oh, God, help us. I look and see the people's following this trash. Pigs. Snakes in the grass.
Amen.
Steve, look out. I don't have to look out. The same spirit's in me as in Jesus Christ. Who Christ is. One day, it'll show. It ain't already showing. If it ain't, it is. Yes. Oh, my.
Amen.
Lord, help us keep falling in love with you.
Amen.
Not with some preacher.
Yes.
Not some hog sty. A pretty building. With beautiful windows. A large building that's fixed up nice. Beautiful sound system. Instruments playing. Lord, help me fall in love with you.
Amen.
Over and over and over again. Amen. Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and grace.
Amen.
You know, some people think maybe I say a lot of hard things. But if you was really studying the prophet and listen to what
Amen.
He said, he says a lot of hard
Do you know the slam he said in that very message Brother Timothy was reading out of? Just once more. I happened to bring it.
Strange deep read out of that same book.
Same message, June 28, 1963. I went to a certain great denominational church not long ago. They had a meeting and I went out to visit them. And the pastor taking me out, and he was going to introduce me to his wife. She was the pianist. And that woman had on a dress so tight that the skin was almost on the outside. She had makeup on, wore all kinds of things in her ears. And I said, "Brother," he said, "do you mean to say that your wife is a saint?" "Why, yes, sir, Brother Branham. My wife is a saint." I said, "She looks like a haint." I said, "I never seen such in the name of Pentecostal and holiness. Oh, brother, we need a house cleaning from the pulpit to the basement."
Amen.
And one of these days, he stops her and he says, "You say I'm Pentecostal. Today, the message has gone on far enough today to say, I'm in the message. That don't mean no more than being a pig to God." Wow. That has nothing to do with Christ. That's just a name. You've got to be Pentecost in your heart. The fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh my. A pig. I remind you now, I'm sure that man's wife was still living. And that was all over the world. Called that man's wife a pig. John called him snakes in the grass.
Amen.
Yeah. Somebody's got to call him snakes in the grass again. Somebody's got to call them pigs that defile my holy Lord's name. To crucify him afresh. Yeah. Hog's thighs. And declare this message.
Amen.
Oh my. Just kind of like Brother Paul. They've went to a few churches up in that area. But not being, you know, be here every time. And like you said, you know, it might be good for some of the people here to go to some of these other massive churches. So you can see the mess. And then as Moses told the people, the children of Israel, experiment if you want. Yeah. But Jesus Christ is here.
Amen.
And he's here for his chosen
Amen.
Few. That he will take all the way. And they will be filled with his Spirit. And they will hate the works of flesh. What do you think old John the Baptist had in his heart when he stood before that king? And he had another man's wife. And he blasted right in that king's face. "You have no right to have that woman." Oh, it cost him his head. But Jesus Christ had somebody that he could live through. Amen to his word.
Amen.
For some reason those things were said.
Amen.
I felt too strong in the Spirit to say it. Oh my.
Amen.
But again, hearken. Hearken unto God's word. As Brother Timothy already said, that nothing moves out of void. Nothing. There is a reason for it. Amen. Amen. we keep falling in love with Him, the Word. Over and over and over again.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah, and sing it with all your heart. Amen.
I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Yes, sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over.
Bow our heads, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. When I think back on the day of Pentecost, and Lord, they came down out of that upper room, and the freshness of the power of the Holy Ghost had just fell upon them and entered into their lives. Oh, how they spake the Word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Father, it gave them something to stand on solid. Something, Lord, that didn't waver and shake. But Lord, it was solid on the Word of God. Lord, help us, O God. Holy Ghost, fall on us. Lord, refill us, Lord Jesus. And Father, we can stand on the Word of God with boldness and stand on the truth, Lord, and not shake and waver under the power of the world. But, O God, we have power over the world, the flesh, and sin. Oh, God, even death. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Ghost. Yes. Father, may the Holy Ghost fall in our lives and in our lives in such a great way that, Lord, men will see it with ease. That, Lord, will declare to this nation that Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, God, they'll see you in our lives and know that, Lord, there'd be nothing in our lives that they would see that they wouldn't see in your life. Oh, God, help us now. To see the reality of all these things. We ask now that you go with us and bring us back the next appointed time. And Lord Jesus, this Thursday, if you should tarry, Father, may our thanksgiving be you, Lord. May our thanksgiving be thanking you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do in our lives. With much appreciation, Lord, for what you've done. You gave us eternal life. You gave us the desire. You gave us that hatred for the works of the flesh. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. Yes, you gave us food. You gave us a home to live in. You gave us a provision to be here, Lord, to gather around in the temple of God, to worship you and to praise you and to hear your precious word. May all these things, Lord, we be thankful for. And not only on that day, every day of our life.
Amen.
Be you thankful for all things. Yes. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Lord. We appreciate you so much for this day. May this message tonight, our brother brought, find a good place in our heart, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God, grant it now. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You determined to keep falling in love with Him?
Amen.
Over and over again. Oh, my saints. Time's almost over. Can He find somebody? As He said, whom shall I send? Whom shall go for me? Can you say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Hallelujah. Send me. Glory to God. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Won't be no service Thursday night.